Brother Roosevelt Wells, I think Brother Roosevelt Wells died recently. I know Brother Jack Evans passed. These are giants for Jesus' truth. Dr. Jack Evans was president of Southwestern Christian College for many years. He passed, and I think his wife passed. He has been here. Dr. Roosevelt Wells has been here two or three times. He started when Harlem was Harlem. In fact, when I met Brother Wells, I met him in Pontiac, Michigan, while I was going to college there. And it was there he moved from and went to Harlem, where almost every preacher was afraid to go to Harlem, because that time Harlem was Harlem, and establish a strong congregation that is still there functioning for Christ. Some years ago, he wrote a tract titled, "Preacher, Reverend is not your name." Very good track. And I decided to mix some of what he said with some things that I would have included in that track if I were writing a track on that subject. Brother Wells did a fantastic job in that track. For any observant religious person living in our time, they drift from biblical teaching and biblical example, they are varied and they are plentiful. If you are a religious person and if you are observant, if you are acquainted with what the Bible teaches, it will be obvious to you that churches, denominations, religious institutions have drifted from so many teachings of the Bible and from so many examples set for us. Baptism for the removal of sin is an example. The Bible is plain on that subject. The Bible teaches that one must be baptized for the remission of sin. That's what the scripture says. The Bible teaches that even now baptism doeth save us, not the putting away of the flesh, but the answer for good conscience towards God. Now, notice it says baptism doeth now save us. I'm actually quoting from the book of Peter. The Bible tells us on that subject, when the great Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, in the process of his conversion, he was commanded, "Why are you waiting? Get up and get baptized and wash away your sins." All these, the Bible teaches it. Yet men and women today will be adamant in telling you baptism have nothing to do with your salvation. The Bible tells us that God's baptism, the one that he will accept, is a burial in water. Today, there are millions upon millions of men and women who will accept a man-made substitute having a little water sprinkled on their head. What is the point? The drift that is going on in our time, drift away from what God has plainly stated. But not only baptism, the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit causes men and women to behave is another area of drift. The Bible makes it plain that the Holy Spirit is an intelligent being. There are actually three persons in the Godhead. When the Bible speaks about God, God manifests himself in the Father, manifests himself in the Son, manifests himself in the Holy Spirit. That's not three God, it's one God manifesting himself in three persons. I've always used a simple illustration to illustrate that. I remember the time when there was one TV station in Jamaica. But you could access that one station through Channel 2, Channel 11, Channel 7. But it was not three TV stations, it was just one. Reaching the Jamaica public through these three or four different channels. Well, it's so with God. It's one God manifesting himself in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here now, what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is a sane, intelligent, rational being. Watch here. The Holy Spirit never makes any person act irrationally, uncontrollably, or behave himself in an unseemly manner. Not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit never makes any man or woman walk on the bench or throw themselves on the tile and roll in the tile. The Holy Spirit doesn't do things like that. Now, there is another spirit that does that. That is demonic spirit. Spirit under demonic Satan control. But never the Holy Spirit. But watch here now. We live in a time where men and women have drifted so far from God, are so ignorant of what the Bible teaches, that the common thing today is that when men and women act in a religious atmosphere, when they act irrationally, when they act as if they are not in control of self, when they act as if they were drinking rum, men and women say they are in the spirit. What spirit are they in? Not the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. But not only that, what we are looking on is the area that men and women have drifted from God's word. Worship. Worship was meant to center around the Almighty God. We shouldn't be coming to worship thinking what must be done to please me. We should come to worship with the concern that I want to make sure that my mind and my words and my activities are centered in pleasing and honoring God. That's what worship is about. It's totally about God. It is God that we come to worship, not ourselves. It is God that we come to please, not ourselves. It is God that we come to satisfy, not ourselves. It is God that we come to glorify, not ourselves. Watch here, watch here. We don't come to worship to be entertained. We may enjoy the song that is being sung, but the song that is being sung should be sung to the honor and glory of God's name. But today, the popular thing is for worship to become entertainment for the worshiper. Are we all there? It was never meant to be entertainment. May I? Not only that, today, well, let me flip that. When we deal with religious leaders of the first century, we hear about Brother Paul, Brother Peter, or just Simon Peter, and such term like that. But when you flip that to our time, we hear terms or title such as reverend. We hear terms such as the right reverend. We hear terms such as the most holy right reverend. That's in our time. And I challenge you to go to the New Testament. In fact, anywhere in the Bible, and see if you can find any leader in God's business that was ever addressed with any of these titles. There is not one. Now, there are two main causes or reasons for this, what we'd call superfluous, and the American referred to it as highfalutin terms. There are two reasons that brought this about. We're men and women who claim to be following the Bible, who claim to believe the Bible, would convince you and me that men and women going by the term reverend, the right reverend, the most holy reverend, that these are appropriate terms for religious leaders. As I said, there are two reasons for it. Reason one is human pride and ego. That's one of the driving force. We are driven by our pride, our ego. May I just drop this along too? While this is planned to be a two-part lesson, because I cannot reach the real substance of the lesson dealing with some of these modern titles and name religious leader crave for, that will not be dealt with in today's lesson. I'm just giving the introduction to the lesson. These terms that men crave for, as I've said, pride is, and our ego are, well, I'll put those as one reason, our ego and pride as one of the reasons we're, get this, one of the things to keep in mind, the more man thinks he has achieved, the more highly man thinks of himself, is the more he tried to find ways for you to recognize his achievement, his standing. And this tends to put us in problem with God. So pride and ego is something, in fact, this lesson will be dealing with the manifestation of pride throughout God's dealing with man and some step that God, drastic steps, terrible step that God took to deal with man pride. So human pride and ego is one of the reasons that we go for these highfalutin terms and titles. But the other reason is ignorance of and no respect for the word of God. That's the other reason. We men want to hold on, that is to give their mind some degree of comfort, so they hold on to religion, but they are going to turn it into ways that please them. They do not take time off to study God's word and to show the respect and reverence for it that they are to. Let us hear a little about what the Bible says about God's word. Let us hear 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 13. And another brother turned to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let us hear it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. There is no Bible in the audience.
For this reason.
Also we thank God continually. That's what without ceasing implies. But notice why they thank God continually.
Because
he's stating the reason. The leaders, the apostles, continue to give God thanks. Because?
When he received the word of God.
What did they receive?
The word of God.
What did they receive?
The word of God.
What happened?
Which he heard of us.
Mm-hmm.
He received it not as the word of men.
Hold the passage, brother. We must learn a great lesson here. We must never equate God's word with man's word.
That's right.
Because that's one, you see, like those of us people who become church or we are Christian, where we hear the word of God, we grow, some of us, where we begin to take it for granted and treat it lightly. That's right. But Paul is giving thanks to the church of Christ in Thessalonica. He said, when you receive the word of God, you what, brother?
Receive it not as the word of men.
That's right. As awesome as the word of men can be, it has no comparison with the word of God. Read on.
But as it is in truth.
As it is in truth.
The word of God.
The word of God. And watch here now. The word of God is able to do things for our lives that no human word can do.
That's right.
What he says there, brother?
But as it is in truth, the word of God.
Which
effectually worketh.
Which effectively
worketh.
Worketh.
Also in
wait,
you.
Wait. Notice worketh. Thus, it continues to work in us.
That's right.
The word of God doesn't just come in us and it work today and it done with you. No, sir. The tense of the verb worketh used there means it continues to work in us.
That's right.
Which effectively continue to work.
Also in you that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14.
You may stop there, brother. Let us hear another passage on the word of God. Remember, we pointed out that human ego and pride is one of the reasons we crave for these highfalutin terms. The other reason is men and women are ignorant of what the Bible teaches. Let us hear the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6.
And these things, brethren, mm-hmm. I have in a figure transferred to myself.
I am using a figure of speech. That's what he meant when he said, I have in a figure. I'm using a figure of speech.
And to Apollos for your sake.
To myself and Apollos. I am using myself and Apollos to get the lesson, the message over to you. Watch here now.
Mm-hmm. That he might learn in us, not to think.
The us there is referring to him and Apollos. That's why he said, I'm using them. That you may learn in us.
Not to think of men above that which is written.
Everybody hear that? Not to think of men
above that which is written.
Is it written that men and women are reverent? No. We will be examining the text where that word is used but once in the entire Bible. And it used, are we all there? It used in a context where it shows the qualification of the person who is qualified to be called a reverend. That's right. The context within which the word is used, it shows who is qualified to be called a reverend. So you can see when the Apostle Paul says that we may learn, you Corinthians, Of course, was written. Paul told the Corinthians that he wrote the same thing and he preached the same thing to every congregation. He said to them that you may learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. I may just drop along here the exact Greek is that you not to go beyond what is written. But we may take that up another time. Another passage, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Let us hear it.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
May I? The word oracle means that which God has declared. That's what the word oracle means here. If any man, if you are going to claim you are speaking for God, don't be guilty of lying and at the same time misrepresenting God also, because that's double sin. If you claim you are speaking for God, make sure you are representing God according to his word. That's what the passage the brother is reading is talking about. The brother is reading from the passage of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Notice, if any man speak,
let him speak
as the oracle of God. Let him speak that which God has declared.
That's right.
But there's some other important thing in the verse. Read, brother.
If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth.
Whenever you render service, are we all there? Minister, which means you are rendering service. And if you are doing it in God's name, give God thanks, because he's the one who gives you the ability.
That's right.
But notice the bottom line in the passage.
That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
You all hear it? Brothers and sisters, when you or I speak, and we do not speak as God's oracle, God cannot be glorified.
That's right.
We must remember that. When the Almighty God tells me that baptism is a burial, and I come in telling you that sprinkling is just as good, God can never be glorified in that.
That's right.
May I? The scripture. Yes, the scripture. God's revelation did not simply or merely use the name reverend. But the scripture informs us of the qualification or the standing of the only one who is qualified to use that name or title.
That's right.
Yes. I know I've said it a few minutes ago, but I just want to repeat that. And we will be looking into that next week. But before we examine that, we need to understand that human pride poses one of our greatest spiritual dangers and liabilities. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Human pride poses one of our greatest spiritual danger and one of our greatest liability. That is spiritual liability, pride. While humility is one of man's greatest spiritual asset. Humility. Humility. Let us spend the rest of the time looking on the subject of pride and humility. Let us look at what the Bible says. James chapter 4. Verse 6 and 7, pride and humility.
But
may I? Over the years, I've said this many times, and while probably I should spend a few minutes in defining pride, which I didn't plan to in this lesson, but may I? Pride is highly competitive. I want you to listen. Pride is not satisfied that I have a good education. Mm-mm. Pride feels good only when I am led to feel I'm the most educated person around. That's the tendency in pride. Pride is not satisfied that I am a good workman or as good as any. Pride is not satisfied with that. Pride is satisfied only when I am the best workman. Pride is not satisfied that I have a lot of money, I'm rich. I have to be working hard to be the richest man. That's pride. One of the manifestations of pride is that it is highly competitive. Wait. Pride is that I must always have it over my fellow men. It's one of the nature of pride. Watch it. Pride, not only is it highly competitive, but pride is envious and jealous. Because the moment I feel that somebody does something as good as I am or better than I am, the person becomes my enemy. And the person has done me no evil. Pride also make us, some time ago, some of you will remember Maurice Cargill. Maurice Cargill was one of the constant writer for the Gleaner. I don't know if he was an Englishman who became a Jamaican or what, but you know, he looked like an Englishman. I probably have these clippings, and I never forget because I thought he was so right. He pointed out that many people cannot, if they do something wrong, cannot say. To say I'm sorry. I never forget that a person, he was talking about Well, I'm an old timer. Talk about joyous bus. It's no more joyous. That's right. That a person will come in the bus with their big luggage and they will scrape you up and tear up your dress or pants. And if you point it out to them, they'll trace you off right there. These are some of the things he was pointing out in that article. But that false pride where a person feels if they acknowledge that they have done something wrong, in their eyes they feel small because they already are small. We find it in the church too. So pride is a terrible thing. It creates a gap between God and man. It makes man crave that which belongs to God. That's why you see we go for these highfalutin term, reverent, most. My God, how did man get to most holy? How did man get there? Let us hear James 4:6.
But he giveth more grace, where he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Proud, pride, remember, same thing. God is fighting against the proud. Are we all there? But he gives more grace to the humble.
That's right.
It's important that we keep this in mind, you know. Because we can have the Almighty God working against us throughout our lives and don't realize it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 6.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves.
In fact, in James, did I say verse 6?
4:6.
Read verse 6 and 7.
But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
God resists the proud. Wait, you do not have to be out there with an M16 gun shooting down people. Just being a proud person. And this is talk about false pride. You have God working against you. Yes. That was verse 6. Verse 7.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Notice the word submit. Are we all there? That's key in being humble.
That's right.
Submit. Do you know that even in the home, in marriage, as I pointed out to you, whenever we growing up as 12, 14, 15, 16 year old young children in our home, and the moment we put up a little, our mother left something we do and we don't do it and she come home late and she would grab us and give it to us and she always say, two bull can't rain in one pen. You see, it's that unwillingness to submit to one another that creates so much tension in the home, in marriage. Yes, you usually have two bulls in the home. That's one of the reasons. Submitting. Let us hear 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And somebody turn. Well, yes, read.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty. Chapter 5 and 6.
5 and 6. Start 5 again.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder.
May I? First, I appeal again to children. You are somebody's child. Are you 40 years old? You are still somebody's child. Are you 50 years old? You are still somebody's child. Are you 60 years old? You are still somebody's child. Is your mother, father alive? Show reverence and respect to them. Wait. It doesn't mean you and your mother or father will always in agreement. Sometimes you and your mother or father have some argument. But even within that argument, you will still show respect. The person is older than you. The person has seen more than you have seen. Are we all there? And then you younger folks, remember, in most cases, the older person have seen more than you have seen and is in a better position to give you guidance. Read that again, brother.
Likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, all of you be subject one to another.
You all hear it? Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Don't play tug of war.
That's right.
Play yielding. That's verse 6.
5.
Read.
Still continue. And be clothed with humility.
What?
Be clothed with humility.
Didn't I say why? Pride poses one of our greatest obstacles and spiritual danger and liability. Humility is our greatest asset.
That's right.
Here it is telling you, like you put on your clothes, put on humility.
That's right.
Read on, brother.
For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble.
What you dear saying? But the brother just read this passage already. No, he's just reading it. The first time when he read it, it was in James. This is a different writer, Peter, saying the same thing.
That's right.
And both of these writers was quoting from the wise man Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Both of them, we won't read that, because time is going. Both of them were reading from Proverbs chapter 3, 34. I will not even read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 8 through 3 and verse 16, where the Almighty God told the Israelites how he humbled them. But there's one or two passages I must run to before we close. Did you know that pride was that which brought sin into the world?
That's right.
Every time I read these passages, I said, but that's why God is so much against pride. Because it always brought back to the Almighty God when Satan challenged him. Pride is what brought sin into the world. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Pride was that which caused the Almighty God to throw Satan out of heaven. The passage of Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 14, is but one of the passages. I had in mind sharing with you not only this, but the similar dissertation found in Ezekiel and one found in Revelation. But today we can only look at the one in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. This passage is telling when Satan rebelled. Are we all here? You know why Satan rebelled? Pride. Read aloud for me that passage, Isaiah 14, 12 through 14.
O art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning.
Are you Lucifer? Every one of us know that's one of Satan's names. Every one of us. In fact, I grew up with a gentleman that in my district that was called that. He was the only child of his father. And he was spoiled. Really spoiled. I'll never forget, as a young boy, probably I was just about 12, 14 then, but I'll never forget how his elderly father cried when he died. Died relatively young, probably 30, 40. And his father just bawled. We used to call him Lucifer. And that was not just a name you use in secret. I mean, when all my father seen, that's why. Lucifer, how are you? That was his regular name. Don't give your son that name. Start again, brother, verse 12.
How art thou fallen from heaven?
How did you fall from heaven, Satan? Read.
O Lucifer, son,
O Lucifer,
son of the morning.
Son of the morning. That's what Satan was, you know. One of the brightest angels. And sometimes this is what fly to people's head, you know. You see, that's the way pride works. Read on.
How art thou cut down to the ground,
mm-hmm.
which didst weaken the nations?
Mm-hmm.
For thou hast said in thine heart.
Watch here now. That pride. Pride stepped in. You said in your heart.
I will ascend into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I will exalt my throne above the stars.
Just the term exalt is a manifestation of pride.
That's right.
Read on.
I will sit also upon the mount
mm-hmm.
of the congregation
mm-hmm.
in the sides of the north.
Uh-huh.
I will ascend above the heights of the clouds.
Uh-huh.
I will be like the Most High.
Didn't I tell you a few minutes ago that pride is competitive? Here you have it from the horse's mouth. What you have just read there, read that sentence again. I will
ascend above the heights of the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
I will be like the Most High.
I will be like the Most High. My God, Satan, you should realize nobody can be like the Almighty God.
That's right. That's right.
And it does that. It does that. What verse are you?
14.
Read.
Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell,
mm-hmm.
to the sides of the pit.
Mm-hmm.
They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee
mm-hmm.
and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
that made the world as a wilderness,
mm-hmm.
and destroyed the cities thereof,
mm-hmm.
that opened not the house of his prisoners?
Mm-hmm.
All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house.
You may stop there. So here we are getting a glimpse of how pride worked and how it brought rebellion against God in the beginning. One last example. I want us to go to a few New Testament passages. I want us to look at how pride, how God dealt with the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. Because throughout the Bible, all our New Testament, we see pride at work. And if you forget what has brought us here, when men, religious leaders, are taking unto themselves titles or names or positions which belong only to the Almighty God, then remember two things that resulted from pride and ego, and it resulted from ignorance and disrespect for God's word. One passage found in the book of Romans chapter 9. And read, brother, last passage, verse 17.
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
May I, let me be brief. Read verse 17 again.
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God at that time in history felt the need to make himself known among Gentiles and the whole world. But the civilization, the country, the ruler that stand at the top was Egypt and the pharaohs. Of all the, everybody, every nation around knew about the power of Egypt. This was no mistake. It was God's doing. The Almighty God wanted to use Egypt and the Pharaoh to publish his name, to let men and women understand that there is a great God. Now, the passage the brother has just read is one of the most misunderstood passages. And I'm going to ask you as of now, don't misunderstand that passage. Don't read into it what it does not say. Notice this. The passage does not say that God raised up Pharaoh to destroy him. Men and women have read that into the passage. What the passage says, God says, for this very reason I raise you up, that I may what?
Show my power in thee.
Show my power in you.
And that my name might be declared throughout all the earth.
That's what the passage says. Now, brothers and sisters, God is going to get this done in whatever way Pharaoh acted. Watch it. Pharaoh's freedom of choice was not taken from him. Very important that you keep this in mind. Very important. Get this. Pharaoh was free to act in ways, submissive ways. Pharaoh was free to act in yielding ways, yielding to the wishes and the power of God. And God would still work in him and through him to get his glory.
Yes, sir.
Pharaoh chose the other route. Pharaoh chose to oppose God, to resist God, to fight against God. very pulpit, when the Almighty God raised up Pharaoh to use Pharaoh to publish his name, it's like God was saying to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, how will you have it? You can have it the hard way or you can have it the easy way. Pharaoh could have it either way, and it was up to Pharaoh. Any way Pharaoh wants it or wanted it, God would still be glorified through him.
That's right.
But you see, Pharaoh chose the difficult way. When the Almighty God ended up having to destroy Pharaoh and his large army, Pharaoh could have chosen a way that no Egyptian died. That's right. But you know what? Pride. Pharaoh's pride hindered him from yielding to the power of the Almighty God. And that brought his destruction. It was in Pharaoh's free will agency to yield as well as to go the other direction to resist God. No man can resist God and succeed. But pride sometimes blinds our eyes. It is pride that makes religious leaders crave for terms like reverend. Let us read that passage, and next week we go in it more detail. Psalms 111, verse. For this reading, we'll take only verse 9, but next week we'll show you a little of the context and help you to get understanding why no man or woman is qualified to wear the name Reverend. And members of the Lord's church should understand why.
That's right.
Let us hear it.
He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name.
Holy and reverent is God's name.
That's right.
Preacher, reverent is not your name or title.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you are here today, having heard truth that makes you want to yield to God's word, and you're never wrong, you never go wrong. In fact, you're always wise when you yield to God's word. You can come today believing in Jesus Christ, making a decision to repent of your sin and to confess Christ's name and to get baptized for the removal of your sin. If you're a child of God who have grown weak, backslidden, you can come today and recommit your life to Christ.